You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
The Green Party recently released He Ora Onamata, the Green Party's emissions reduction plan. The document covers more than 10 areas of the economy and energy sector that a Greens-led government would be looking to adapt to minimize carbon emissions and protect the natural landscapes of Aotearoa. It also comes 5 months after the government released their own draft emissions plan. However, experts have said that the government is behind on their own plan's targets to meet the crucial emissions budget for 2031 to 2035. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March to discuss the party's new emissions reduction plan and how they would address climate and the economy in a Greens-led government. In your own words, can you give us a rundown on the Green Party's emissions reductions plan and how it'll be used to tackle climate change?
Yeah, so He Ara Onamata is our vision for an economy that prioritizes people and planet. What we are proposing is a series of interventions. So, for example, from introducing agricultural emissions to the ETS to, for example, also having a green jobs guarantee and a Ministry of Work so that we can support people to transition from jobs that actually contribute to emissions to jobs that actually support people on the planet, which at the moment we don't have, but also that we don't have to basically rely on offshore funding to build infrastructure that we don't end up owning. So this is about having a whole economy that creates infrastructure inside our country to ensure that we can have things like rail, that we can have things like adequate public housing, etc.
How would the Greens aim to transition Aotearoa's energy production to cleaner, renewable sources of energy?
Oh, I mean, it'll be a range of interventions when it comes to clean energy, but it's threefold. It'll be about investing directly in a renewable energy infrastructure. It'll be about making sure that our homes are energy efficient. So, for example, the homes that we're building, there's very few requirements around that. And actually, one of the best ways to lower emissions is to build things in a way that actually does not use emissions in the first place. So this is homes that are well insulated, have double glazing so that people don't have to use a lot of electricity when winter comes around, and also supporting community energy projects. So this is about making sure that we're not at the mercy of gentailers that are providing energy profit, and instead that we have a network of energy that means people can have access to energy right, as opposed to something that is out of reach for low-income people.
The government's draft plan included policies aimed at reducing consenting barriers for new renewable energy projects. Is this something the Greens would be looking to do as well?
Well, yeah, but we got to remember that the government's plan is also about removing consenting barriers for things like coal mines, right? And so we've got a government that is both telling us that they'll consent a few additional bits of renewable energy sources, while at the same time also opening the path to coal mines and other extractive projects that will actually increase our emissions. That is not where the future of our economy lies, and that will take us backwards, both when it comes to decent paid jobs, but also in terms of protecting our biodiversity and the future generations to come.
The government's plan also included policy for supporting electric vehicle usage, such as funding more EV charges. Would the Greens also be interested in boosting EV usage in their own emissions reduction plan?
Well, yeah, and this is why the government should have not gotten rid of policies that made it easier to import electric vehicles. And they themselves actually made it harder for people to access electric vehicles in the secondhand market. In the previous government, where electric vehicles were finally within reach of people, and that was actually overturned by the government. So yes, electric vehicles are part of the solution, but I think we also got to look beyond that to things like interregional rail and a rail network within a larger urban city, so that we can actually allow people to move around and free up traffic for people who still need to use their cars.
And how would the Greens aim to address fossil fuel usage and extraction in the plan?
What we'll do is we'll phase out fossil fuels, which includes also banning onshore oil and gas exploration. But I think the key component to this is the Green Jobs Guarantee. We're very conscious that obviously there are jobs on the line when it comes to phasing out fossil fuels, and we've got to create a pathway that allows people to be retrained, redeployed, and reskilled to ensure that they can have a guaranteed job as we phase out fossil fuels. And that is a critical part of the phasing out of extractive industries and supporting workers to transition and to have well-paid jobs and clean industries as well.
The plan suggests extracting energy from wood pellets from plantation pine as a substitute for sources like coal. Are wood pellets able to provide our energy needs to the same capacity that coal does?
Woody biomass can actually provide a lot of energy and electricity generation. We do have a huge, basically huge pine industry, And rather than just having monoculture that actually harms our biodiversity and basically smoke and mirrors when it comes to making our efforts to absorb carbon dioxide, we could be using those pine plantations to actually provide electricity. And I think that would be a better way to use the existing pine plantations that we have. And obviously the future is not investing simply on exotic forests, but actually to restore wetlands and biodiversity as well, because that's also about protecting us from the impacts of things like extreme flooding events.
You've mentioned this quite a bit, but can you tell us about the Green Jobs Guarantee and the role this would play in combating emissions?
Well, the key thing right now is that we have things like Jobs for Nature, which previously allowed a lot of people to transition from another job, or for example, if they were unemployed, into a job that helped, for example, restore biodiversity, restore wetlands. But Jobs for Nature is now at risk. Basically, the idea of a Green Jobs Guarantee is to allow a pathway for a just transition, where you actually invest in people being able to have access to free education to transition, for example, into another trade, where you provide the resources so that if they need to move towns and cities, they're actually resourced to make that move. Especially, for example, we phase out some of the coal mines in the future that this government wants to do, that actually people are supported to make that transition, as opposed to just assuming that we can close industries and people will organically find a different job, which we're seeing is not happening right now with the closure of mills and other industries as part of the government's manufactured unemployment and its way of dealing with the recession.
Can you tell us about the changes that the Greens would be looking to make to the emissions trading scheme?
Well, it's really clear that we need to add agricultural emissions to the emissions trading scheme. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that the emissions trading scheme isn't perfect. It relies, it's a market mechanism. But at the moment, our biggest polluter and our biggest contributor to emission is exempt for the emissions trading scheme. This does not mean we have to do more to support our farmers to transition to more regenerative and sustainable forms of farming. This is something we acknowledged during successive elections, and then the need of having actually a pot of money that allows farmers to have more regenerative forms of practices so that they don't have to actually end up contributing a lot to the emissions trading scheme. But one of the key things is to actually add one of our most polluting industries into the ETS so that they do contribute their fair share.
Do the Greens support using carbon credits and emissions pricing as a way to reduce emissions?
So the key thing is that we should basically not just be paying a lot of money to make up for the fact that we didn't do enough domestically here. And so I think one of the key things right now is that the way that the government is operating risks having to fork out billions and billions of dollars to make up for the fact that we didn't do enough domestically to address climate change. And this is why we need to support a transition rather than actually subsidize pollution. So we should be moving away from those.
Regarding emissions in the agricultural sector, the plan involves policies to phase out the use of synthetic nitrogen fertilizer and palm kernel extract. But are there substitutes that the Greens would be willing to fund to maintain production levels in the agricultural sector?
Absolutely. And I think part of having a far more regenerative form of farming means you also rely less on synthetic nitrogen fertilizer. I think this is key to enable farmers to transition to a much more sustainable form of farming. And we've got to acknowledge that synthetic nitrogen fertilizers cause huge harm to our rivers and affect the biodiversity. That effectively prevents people from having a food basket as well.
Can you tell us about the role that Te Tiriti and Te Kanga Māori play in the Greens emissions plan?
Basically, part of the just transition, the move away from extractive industries, is resourcing and partnering up with Iwi Hapu and Whānau to ensure that actually we're devolving resources, but that we're actually living through true partnership. That will be key to ensuring that any transition away from extractive industries actually honors Te Tiriti o Waitangi and that we partner alongside them.
And why is the returning of land to tangata whenua important for combating climate change?
The tangata whenua are kaitiaki of this land, and they should be supported. And, well, the Crown should actually get out of the way and support the whenua's efforts to protect their own whenua. And the Crown should resource that as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.